this morning, and I sent that text to, I sent that text to Brother BJ. I think it was Friday. Well, you got it Friday night. And he come up to me this morning, and he said, "You want to do that tonight?" And I was like, "Whoa, wait a minute." Now, we didn't, you know, but he came up to me a while ago, and he said, "You need water." And I said, "Well, yeah, sometimes I get a little, my mouth will get dry when I'm speaking. I do a lot of speaking engagements for my job, and I've always found it to be, you know, that's pretty, never had a problem doing that. But tonight, when I got here, I thought, now this is a little bit different. This is in the house of the Lord, and this is a little different. So he gave me this bottle, Dasani water, and I was standing back there looking at it, and I thought, I don't know how many of you in here, Hagen, I know you and your dad are Auburn fans. I know there's other in here that's Auburn fans, but if you've ever seen a press conference with Nick Saban, he's got a bottle of Dasani water sitting right there. So I guess this is kind of what he feels like sometimes. He's got that water. But anyway, well, I made a mistake this morning. Me and Brother Les have talked about it, and I didn't know that today was supposed to be my day to teach Sunday school. No, anyway, I walked in and got here, walked into church and realized that there had been a mistake given. Let me get my notes out here. And it shook me when I realized that I'd made that mistake. And I looked at my wife over there and I said, "Well, I might as well just turn around and go back home." And she said, "Why?" I said, "Well, I've done messed it up." I said, I done messed it up, and I said, I've let everybody down. I can't do this. For some reason, the Holy Spirit's been working with me all week, and he was telling me, "You need to call or text Brother Les and find out when your day is." Well, I talked to Brother Les, and he told me, he said, "Well, you know, the Holy Spirit's been telling him the same thing. You need to text me and find out." Well, Christy told me, she said, "No, you can't leave. You got to stay here." So after Brother BJ got into his sermon, I was sitting there listening to it in Ezekiel, and I thought, you know, the whole time that I was telling myself I needed to go home because I'd messed it up, it was Satan telling me, because he knew that Brother BJ was going to come up to me after church and say, "Do you want to come up here and share that message?" And I said, It struck me. So the title of my message tonight is Fix It. And that's, you know, and I'll get into that in a minute, but everything that's happened today, it has led up to this moment and of fixing it. And whether, if you'll put up Ezekiel 37, 9 through 10, I'm going to touch a little bit on what Brother BJ said this morning. And it says in Ezekiel, let me find the scripture. Ezekiel 37:9-10, it said, "Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." Now, I didn't bring that here, and that's not the whole scripture that I'm going to talk about tonight about fixing it, but this is leading up to what the Holy Spirit told me this week, and Satan trying to get in my way and give me a stumbling block to stop this from happening. But, and BJ used this scripture this morning, but it laid on my heart. It said, just out of the blue, something told me, and I wrote it down here in the margin in the Bible. It said, when God tells you to do something, or when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, and you obey, you should expect supernatural things to happen. So when God tells you to do something, like I was writing this week and I was thinking about what had happened to us in the past, and the Holy Spirit told me the message that that the Holy Spirit gave me. Basically, when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, and you go into it with that in mind, you need to be going into it expecting supernatural things to happen, because it's going to happen. Nothing that we can explain. Just like I said, Satan told me to leave this morning because he didn't want this message to be told. And I may be misinterpreting and everything, but when I was writing and it was laid on my heart what to say, it was very clear. And like I said, when you know that God is wanting you to do something, the best way to know that you're in God's will and doing what he wants you to do is watch what Satan is throwing in your path. And when he throws stuff in your path to get you off of track, like he does with me so many times, he does that because he knows that somebody out there has got to hear what he has given me to say tonight. All right, so, you know, and we think all the time, Christy and I were talking about this earlier tonight, today, before we got here, and she said, you know, all right, we will sit there and as people talking about the Sunday school this lesson this morning and being humble and humbling yourself to what God will have you to do and humbling yourself to God's message and what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you. Humbling yourself in all these avenues, I realized it never was meant for me to teach the Sunday school lesson this morning, brother. It never was meant for me to teach that Sunday school lesson because I struggle with that day to day in my daily walk. And Christ told me, he said, how can you get up and teach people about something when you can't control it and you don't have control of it yourself? So, it never was. It was the Holy Spirit working with us, but we never made that connection, brother. And it was because I was not meant to deliver that lesson. But I am meant to bring this to you because somebody in here needs to hear this tonight. And she said, Christy told me, she said, you know, when we don't humble ourselves and we get mad, and we're mad at somebody or we're mad because of some things, like I'm mad about what my dad went through. I've dealt with that. I've had to deal with that. And I constantly, it's a day-to-day fight dealing with the rage of what the COVID and what my family went through and that fire we went through. But she said, you know, when we get mad at something, we'll walk up to somebody in a heartbeat and tell them what we think about them. We'll walk up to somebody in a heartbeat and tear them down spiritually. We'll walk up to somebody in a heartbeat and tell them just how we think they have wronged us. But when the Holy Spirit tells us to do something, we'll put that off forever. We won't go up to somebody if we don't humble ourselves and tell somebody Jesus loves you. We find it hard. It's easier to go up to someone today and tell someone just how bad they are or how little you think of them than it is to go up and put your arms around somebody and say, I love you. It's harder to do that. So in getting into the whole meat of what the Holy Spirit has told me, I just felt I had to say that this whole day has been, and this week leading up to this message has been just supernatural. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, you might as well expect supernatural things to happen. So getting into the meat, and I told Brother BJ, I said, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to talk tonight. I said, I'm not, you know, I guess if you call this a testimony, or I've given my testimony many times about what's happened in the past with the girls and the wreck, or if this is we're just going to call it what the Holy Spirit had laid on my heart. But if you want to get into we want to get into the meat of it tonight, brother, if you'll put up Psalms 34:18. Now, me and Christy and the kids, a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated an anniversary. And it's not an anniversary like most people think. When you think of anniversaries, you think of wedding anniversaries. When you think of anniversaries, you think of happy times. You think of good anniversaries. And I guess this was a good anniversary by the way it ended and some of the things that happened to me as I was going through that fire. But we celebrated an anniversary. August the 28th, 2015 was the day that Christy and the girls were in their horrific car accident. And when they were in that car accident, my body, my mind, my spirit, everything that I was going through was an absolute chaos. And when I was, when I got to the wreck site, and I've talked about this in the past, and I keep going back to this, but it was such a traumatic event for us, for me, because I was the one that was not there when it happened. Christy was there when it happened. She was the one driving. But our family was broken. Physically, we were broken. Emotionally, we were broken. Any and every way you can think of. Because the day that accident happened, I had gotten home on a Friday afternoon. I was getting ready to go watch Trey play football. And that was I can't tell you how much I enjoyed that. That was just, I lived for those Friday nights. And I was sitting at home, and the phone rang. I've gone through that testimony a lot. I've presented it at other churches. I presented it here. But there were so many things that happened supernaturally during that event. The fact that Christy got a phone call to go through where there was absolutely no cell service. The fact that I was not the one to be the first on the scene because I drove by them because they were down over a ridge and I didn't see them when I first went by them. That was a blessing after the fact because I realized that had I been the first one there, I would not have known what to do. I would not have known. Brother, I just looked at you with your glasses and it reminded me to put mine on. So it was a blessing that I was not the first on the scene. When I got there, Carly Ann was in such bad shape. Her lip, her cheek was torn open where you could see inside her mouth when her mouth was shut. It was a blessing that I was not the first on the scene, but we were there. And that happened 6 years ago. 6 years ago, my family and I, we went through that fire. We went through that process of going of the healing that happened. And what we did through that whole time was we asked people to pray for us. And we asked people, and people did. The prayers went up, and the love, the compassion that we were shown as a family, I can't imagine, I can't describe to you how much that meant and how much help it was coming through that process. If it had not have been for the support of our church family and our friends, I would not have been able to make it. But in Psalms 34, verse 18, it says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." So I've talked about that situation a lot, and I've talked about, coming through it. When I was in that, I'll never forget the one night that I was in that, I was in the hospital room with Carly Ann. Christy was in the hospital at Tupelo. She had just gotten there. She was broken. Bones were broken. And it was just me and her, and I woke up in the middle of the night. I'll never forget that night because I can honestly say it was probably the worst night of my life. When I woke up and I saw Carly Ann, and she was still on the ventilator, and it was breathing for her. We didn't know how bad this situation was. But I got up and I walked, and I tried to pray. I could not pray. Because I would get, "Oh Lord," I would get, "Oh God," I would get, "Dear Lord," I would get two words out, and then all of a sudden, my mind would go right back to what was going on that hospital bed. I could not pray. And then people say, "Well, I've never heard of that. How can you not pray. Well, as humans, our mind is finite. God's infinite. Okay? God can handle anything. We're not. We can't handle anything. We have limitations. I don't care, you know, the biggest, strongest men, the biggest, you know, we have limitations. God has no limitations. But I would cry out, and I looked at my hands, and I was just trembling. And the only thing that I could think of was fix it. You got to fix it. And that's the title of my message here, of what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. He said, you got to fix it. And I couldn't. You know, fathers, grandfathers, men, we pride ourselves on when something breaks, when something goes wrong in our family, in our lives, whatever we're doing, we can fix it. Some people fix it like it was brand new. I have to depend on either WD-40 or duct tape. So, you know, if you can't, if it's moving and it doesn't need to be, you put duct tape on it. If it needs to be moving and it's not, you put WD-40 on it. You know, so that's the way we fix it. We can't fix everything. So I was riding this week, and I was thinking back on the events that had happened and where we had come from since August the 28th of 2015. And I was thinking about it. And I think the last song I just heard on the radio was Blessed Assurance, I believe it was. I was sitting there and I was thinking about that. And I said, God, I just wanted to fix it. And just out of the blue, he said, you can't. You can't fix it. You can't fix everything. No matter what you want, no matter how strong you are, no matter how you lead your family, no matter how much you do this, that, or the other, you can't fix everything. And you're never going to be able to, so quit trying. And I mean, it just hit me. And I said, well, thank you, dear Lord, for that revelation. I said, what do I need to do? And he said, you need to tell everybody. And that's how this has all come about. That's why I'm here today, is because he told me to tell people that you can't fix everything. And there's people in here. There's people, myself, I needed to hear it. There's people out there in the world that needs to know you can't fix everything, but God can. All right, so I got to thinking about that and going forward, and I said, all right, Lord. I said, well, where do I need to come from when I talk about fixing it? And I got to looking through the scripture, and I found Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. And the centurion come to the Lord with this situation. And it's kind of like, it was ironic, though, it was kind of like the same situation that I had with Carly Ann. I loved Carly Ann. She was my oldest daughter, my first daughter. Daddy's girls are always something, you know. She was my first little angel, besides my wife. And she was perfect in every way. I could not have not asked for a prettier little girl. I could not have asked for a more perfect little girl. But because I had gotten away from God and I had quit listening and I thought everything is perfect. Like with Job, something happened. And it's like, okay, you need to turn and you need to look towards God now. Because I'm fixing to put you in a situation you can't fix. Just like with Job, he couldn't fix it. And his buddies were sitting there telling him, you've done something wrong. And I couldn't figure that. But with this situation in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion and beseeched him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you shouldst come under my roof, But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found a so great faith. No, not in Israel. And I'm going to stop right there. By all accounts, this centurion could fix anything. By all accounts, this centurion was a man's man. He was the man that told people to jump and they said, how high? He told people to go and they went. He told them to come and they came. He told them to do anything that he wanted and they had to do it. But he could not fix his servant. He could not fix everything. And he was brought back to the realization that as powerful a person as I am, I've worked so hard to get this status. I've worked so hard to get this position. There's some things that are still out of my hand that I cannot fix. And he had to turn to the one fixer. And that one fixer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can fix you. He can fix anything that you've got, and there's nothing too big that he cannot fix. So you go on, and in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 21, is the lady that came to Christ, and she had the issue of blood, and she had suffered from it for many, many years. And she had gone to many doctors. She had gone to many different experts of that time, and she had done everything she could do, but she could not fix it. But she wanted to get to the one person, and all she had to do was touch the hem of his garment, and she was fixed. He fixed it like that. No questions asked. He didn't have to eat. He didn't look at her. Why? Because of her faith. She knew that if she touched the hem of his garment, she would be fixed. How many people today walk throughout this society that are so broken that they can't fix it, and they've tried to fix it, and all you've got to do is turn. You don't have to do anything but have the faith and touch the hem of his garment, and he will fix you. He will fix it. He fixed my little girl when I could not fix her. He fixed her, and he will fix you. If he doesn't fix you on this side, he will fix you on that side. If he doesn't fix you here, he will fix you there. And because God loved us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's his fix, folks. That's how he fixes people and broken people. He realized that people here could not fix their problems, so we needed someone to fix it. He sent his Son to fix our problems, and all you've got to do is touch the hem of his garment, and he will fix you, regardless of whatever. There's nothing too big. So last August 5th, I lost my father to COVID. We've lost members in this church to COVID. COVID, I got up here the last time I taught Sunday school, I made a comment, and after I got down, I got browbeat internally browbeat, because I stood here and I said, COVID has taken away Christmases. COVID has taken away laughs. It's taken away hugs. It's taken away. You know what COVID can't take away? What can't COVID take away? COVID cannot take away God's love. He cannot take away Christ's love. And if you have a loved one that dies from COVID, that's okay. He fixed them. All you've got to do is put your love and your trust in Jesus Christ, and he will fix you. It may not be here, but it will be there. Sister Kim, our fathers are fixed. Our fathers are fixed because he fixed them. We couldn't, but he did. So that is what the message that the Holy Spirit said, you've got to tell somebody, because somebody is trying to fix it and they can't. And they're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to fix some problems. And it may not be fixed in your time frame. but it will be fixed. And he is the great fixer. He will fix you. Either here or there. But he will fix the problem. We can't do it alone. Men, we are not strong enough to do everything that we think we can do. But we have a Lord and Savior who is. And because we needed fixing, we are fixed permanently by what he did on the cross for our sins. And that's just what the Holy Spirit told me to share with y'all. So, thank y'all.